So we are now on Daf Lamed Chesamid Beis, and we are up to the Mishnah, Ein Noslin Beis. So everybody should get out that Mishnah, and we start a fresh month with a fresh Mishnah, and it's all connected to everything we've been doing, and hopefully this sugya will connect us to what we've done and what we will be doing. Okay. So the Mishnah says as follows: Ein nosnin beitza b'tzad hamecha. This is the Mishnah of what's called Toldos Ha'or. We've discussed on many occasions that if through a fire you heat up something, that object, that metal substance, let's say, which got very hot, is now a vehicle for bishul, and we're talking about bishul d'oraisa. So here also you have a mecham. A mecham is called in Hebrew a kumkum minachoshes. So we're talking about a metal kind of container or percolator that keeps hot water. It's used to heat up hot water. And the outside of this percolator is very, very hot. And he takes an egg, and instead of putting it inside the water or inside an oven or a pot that's on the oven, instead he smacks it up against the side of this kumkum, of this mecham. I'm fascinated by the fact that the word mecham, which is back in the Mishnah, is used today in modern Hebrew. That's what they call it, a mecham. You know, those big, urns. Yeah. Now, why does he put the egg smack up against this side? So the Mishnah admits that that's not going to cause a full bishul, but it does get the inside of the egg starting to roll a little bit. You know, it's not yet
soft boil.
Right, it's not yet soft boiled totally. It's certainly not hard boiled, but it's on the way, and that's called bishvil in order to shetizgalgel. So this is the very beginning of the process of bishul, as far as an egg is concerned, cooking an egg, and that's called tizgalgel. That's the lashon haMishnah.
Is this less than a third?
So what we're going to assume here is that this reaches one third of its cooking, according to that mandir, and therefore it's kemaychol ben josai, and as a result, he's violating the malach of bishul doraisa by bringing it from raw to the state of kemaychol ben josai, which means that al pidin it's considered that it's cooked. Now I have here a note that I wanted to share with you. It's number lamed vav. He says that matbea nechoshes. Why did they make this mecham out of copper? He says that this teva, the nature of copper is lishmar ala resicha. Rashi says that it somehow guards the heat, it protects the heat, and therefore it gets very, very hot, and he's able to reach this state of kemaychol ben josai. And Ben, if you have footnote number 11 tests, you'll see that tzlias habeitza, the word in Mishnaic Hebrew for frying an egg, is called gilgul. And he says kshemenaschim lesovev es habeitza nikarim tavshila olo. The reason why they use the word gilgul, which means to go around and around, is that when they wanted to test to see whether the egg is already cooked or partially cooked, at least they used to turn it around and around, and the way it would land, I guess they could tell it. He says shebeitza chaya, if it's totally raw, netzeres miyad, it won't go round and around. But mevusheles, if it's already cooked, is marba listovev, it keeps going around and around.
Well, that was like a science experiment that I had to learn when I was a teenager. Mm-hmm. And here it is
in the
2,000-year-old science knowledge.
Right.
Actually, if you spin it with your fingers, it'll spin like this, then it'll start spinning like this.
If it's cooked or raw?
Yeah, if it's cooked.
Really? Okay.
Only if it's cooked.
I find, as the older I get, I keep imagining myself, if I would take a time machine, you know, if there's such a thing, and I could go back to the times of hundreds of years ago, I would be very familiar with what's going on. Again, there wouldn't be any automobiles on the street, there wouldn't be electricity, there wouldn't be fax machines, but cell phones, I don't know. But I'm telling you, there's so much similarity in terms of the culture and the society and the psychology and so forth and so on. Even political institutions are very sophisticated, if you learn with Seth the Sanhedrin. So we think of, you know, anything that came before the automobile is absolutely primitive. They didn't have electricity, but there's so many similarities. You know, we might not dress the same way if we took that time machine, but there'd be so much in common. He says the following: Beitza shenisbashla b'miktas, if an egg was partially cooked, af hi kimavushelis, nevertheless it's considered as if it was cooked. And that miktas, that partial of cooking, is considered bishul. And it could be that in the case of an egg, in particular, it's very easy through heat to cause the beginning process of the process of bishul. Now, this is as far as what's called toldas ha'or, meaning something that's being used to heat up a food that has itself been heated up by the fire. What about toldas ha'chama? This means something that was heated up by what we call today solar energy. So the sun heats up something, like for example the sand on the shore is heated up by the sun itself. Or for example, in our Mishnah, the Mishnah says that you can actually take a cloth, flatten it out on the ground on a very hot day where the sun is shining intensely, and that cloth will become hot enough so that I could put my egg inside that cloth and actually cause the egg to cook. Now, what would you say about this case? Is that called bishul? In the final product, it's identical. In other words, whether I put it up against the side of the mecham, in the resh of the Mishnah, or I put it into this, what's called a sudar, samach vav dalet resh, this cloth that's been heated up by the sun, in both cases, the egg is going to reach the identical. And David, if we'd go back to your, you know, to your childhood, and we did a scientific experiment, no one would be able to tell the difference between the two eggs. You know, you have item number one, item number two. The first egg was cooked, again, partially through this process of Betzadah Mecham. And the second egg was cooked by putting it into the sudar. And they both would look the same and taste the same. But does anybody have an idea what's going on here? Why is this a different category?
We have to determine what is Tolda Eish and what isn't. Perhaps sun is not Tolda Eish.
Correct. And in order to appreciate what we're talking about, which is called Toldas HaChama, we have to go back to Chama itself. Supposing I put an egg out there under the sun, the sun, actually, direct hit of the sun, the heat of the sun, is going to cook the egg. So that's called Chama, Chet Mem Hei, and that's not called Bishul. In fact, I'll tell you a secret. You're allowed to do that L'chatchila on Shabbos. If you're desperate to cook an egg, you can put it in the sun. The problem is that our case is not where he put it in the sun, but he's using the sudar, this cloth, which was heated by the sun. That makes it toldas hachama, the phrase that Ben was using before. Now, here we have the problem that toldas ha'esh, which is again indirect heat, but in this case comes from the fire, is considered bishul doraisa. In the case of toldas hachama, on a doraisa level, that's nothing, because chama itself is not a vehicle of bishul. So the Torah doesn't validate, doesn't recognize bishul b'chama. But here we have a strange kind of situation where toldas hachama, when you look at this object that's been heated up not directly by the sun. No, I'm sorry. When you look at this object that's being used now as a vehicle to heat up your egg, that is a link to the chama, but you don't really see that link. Meaning, when you look at this hot object, you don't know exactly what the original source of the heat was. Possibly you would know, but the Rabbanon, the Chachamim, made this takana because they were afraid that we might confuse toldas hachama with toldas ha'or. And they're going to think, well, as long as I don't see the fire in front of me, I'm allowed to cook. In this case of the Mecham, the Reish of our Mishnah, I don't see any fire in front of me. And if, let's say, something was heated up by the sun, I don't see the source of the heat. So I figure, you know, if you're telling me that that told us achava is mutter, I'm going to think that any time I don't see and I don't connect my food with something that's actually fire, then it's mutter. And therefore, I'm not going to make this distinction between something that was heated up by the fire, like this metal, you know, percolator or urn, as you call it, or the case of a cloth that was heated up by the sun. All I know is that I'm not seeing any fire over here. I'm seeing something that's hot. So in my mind, I might make the confusion that maybe as long as I'm using something as a vehicle for heating, which is not the ash itself, then it's mutter. So therefore, the Chachamim made a takana, and this takana is going to be the subject of machlokas and admission between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi just doesn't buy into this gzera. In other words, he doesn't think that we have to go as far as to prohibit told us ha chama, or to told us ha or. That gzera we don't want to make. That's Rabbi Yossi. But the Chachamim that we're seeing right now are saying the following. V'lo yafkienu b'sudrin. Now, when we say yafkienu b'sudrin, there really are two ways of using this cloth to heat up the egg. The case that I gave you before is where you wrap the egg around and cover it on all sides with this very hot cloth. It could very well be that even Rabbi Yossi would agree that that's a problem. And the Mishnah wants to present now the machlokas between Chachom and Rabbi Yossi, in which case Rabbi Yossi is matir. So therefore the Mishnah doesn't talk about the case where you surround the egg with this cloth, because that might come under an isa which even Rabbi Yossi accepts, called hatmana. But rather the Mishnah talks about yafki eno besudrin, which means that he breaks the egg onto this sudar. Again, you have to ask the question, how is he going to eat the egg afterwards if it doesn't get absorbed into the fibers of the... But be that as it may, he heats up the egg by cracking it over this piece of cloth, which was heated up by the sun. And the egg is going to get very hot. It's going to begin to cook. Now, in this case, the sudar, which is being used as a vehicle to heat up the egg, unlike the previous case where the mecham was being used, in this case, we're talking about toldos hachama, because there was no fire that heated up this cloth. It was only the sun, the solar energy, the solar heat that heated up the cloth. Nevertheless, the Chachamim made this gzera, and as we said before, they were afraid that a person who would rely and allow cooking in the case of toldos hachama would go a step further and say that you're allowed to cook in toldos ha'or. Rabbi Yossi matir. So Rabbi Yossi never accepted this gzera. So Rav Osai, here's my quiz question to you to see if you're following what we're saying today. Okay, I'd like to get an answer from everybody. What would be the din if I took an egg and I cracked it over a sudar, and this sudar was heated up by the sun? Am I allowed to do that? Am I allowed to cook my egg on this cloth that was heated up by the sun? And what's the answer? According to Chachamim, no, I'm not allowed to do it. That's called the gzera of toldos hachama otu toldos ha'or. And Rabbi Yossi is matir. However, there is a case in which even Rabbi Yossi agrees that it's asur, and that's lo yatminena b'chol ubavak drachim b'shvil shetitzole. Here we're talking about a case, again, toldos hachama. So the sand was heated up by the sun. But now what he wants to do is, he wants to take this raw egg and submerge it in the sand, such that it is completely covered on all sides. That's called hatmana. In the verb of, hatmana is the noun, and the verb of which is lo yatminena. And that's something that even Rabbi Yossi apparently would agree to. There's another case of avak drachim where even dirt in the on the ground today, I don't know if we have it. Maybe today we have pavement, but pavement is solid, so I don't know if that would apply here. We're talking about something that's still soft enough that you can take the egg and submerge it inside the avak drachim b'shvil shetitzol in order that it should fry. And this is something that's prohibited, even though, again, we're talking about Chama. Not Chama itself, but told us on Chama, because the Chol and the Avak Drachim were heated up by the Chama. Now here we have to see footnote number Mem Vav. And I'm just, if you don't have it in front of you, I'll just summarize it. He says it later on Daf Lamentes. The Gemara is going to present a machlokes to try to understand why Rabbi Yossi would agree in this case of Toldos HaChama. And Rabbi says, because this is called Hatmona Bidavar HaMosif Hevel. Now this is very complicated, because it's not so simple to say that the chol is mosif hevel. Mosif hevel means that it gets hotter and it adds heat and heat. The heat becomes more intense. The process is on the way up. You know, the arrow of the temperature here is on its way up. In fact, it would seem that logically, and this is going to be the Ramban's big deal, chol would be actually cool off with the passage of time. You know, once the sun heats up the sand, it starts a process of cooling off. So the arrow is not going up in terms of the intensity of the heat, but rather going down. And now the classical case of Hatmana, which would be Bishul Doraisa, would be what's called remnants. Again, I'm throwing out a lot of new terms here that we're going to have to get familiar with as we go along. And remnants refers to like sparks of heat or ashes that are actually mosif hevel. Like, for example, if you put an egg bahatmona, meaning surrounded by remnants. Again, we're going to get into what remnants is, but let's just say on a superficial level, we're talking about something that is it generates heat, that's called mosif hevel. That for sure is going to be a classical case of Atmana, and we're going to soon see that you're not allowed to do that even on Erev Shabbos. You're not allowed to surround food even on Erev Shabbos that's Mosif Hevel. As a result of this Atmana, it gets hotter and hotter. And therefore the Ramban doesn't understand how could it be that according to the Gemara later on, Rabbah admits that you can't put the egg inside the sand, because according to the Ramban, the sand is not Mosif Hevel, and therefore would not come under our definition of Hatmono. HaRamban Kosav, Sha'iser B'chol Hu Rak B'Shabbos. Now this is unbelievable. When we read the Mishnah here, Lo Yatminenu B'chol, and we immediately associated this, as the Gemara does later on, with Hatmono, we thought that this was a Durabanan. We thought that we're talking about Erev Shabbos. And that's called Hatmana B'davar Shemosif Hevel. And even Rabbah, who denies Toldos HaChama, he admits that Hatmana is Asur, even if it was heated up by the sun. But the Ramban can't tolerate that Pshat Namish, because the Ramban understands that Chol, that sand, is not something that's Mosif Hevel. On the contrary, it reduces the heat. The process is cooling off. And because of this, the Ramban has to go back to the drawing board and answer the question that we asked before. Why is Rabbi Yossi Moda that you can't put it into the chol? And the answer, he says, is because we're not talking about Erev Shabbos under the classical Gzeira of Hatmana, but rather we're talking about Shabbos itself. And now you have the sand or the avak that is heated up by the sun. And although you're allowed to put the egg inside this sand, inside this avak, miba'od yom. By the way, if you happen to have the article, I was wondering how he translates avak. I translate it as dirt, but maybe as a more sophisticated.
Dust.
Okay, dust. Very good. So if you have this situation, you're allowed to put the egg on Erev Shabbos into the sand, into the dust, because it's not a Mosif Hevel. On the contrary, Yiskaru V'Yelchu, as Shabbos enters, because, you know, the sun sets and there's no longer a solar heat, it's going to cool off. That's not considered part of the Gzeira of Hatmana. And therefore the Ramban insists that our Mishnah could not possibly be talking about Hatmana in the classical sense, which is Erev Shabbos. It must be talking about a Hatmana B'chol U'Bavak Drachim B'Shabbos. And if it's Shabbos itself, then we have an issue here of Toldos HaChama, where even Reb Yossi would agree that it's also. Now the question is obvious. According to the Ramban, if we're not talking about Hatmana, because Hatmana as Gzera only applies when it's Mosif Hevel, when the heat is on the upward swing, and that's not here, then we're talking about Shabbos, so then you're talking about cooking an egg with Toldos HaChama. Why is that any different than the previous case of Sudrin, which Rabbi Yossi was Matir? So in the case of Sudrin, we're going to have to assume that the reason why Rabbi Yossi had Matir is because the cloth is stretched out. Do you follow what I mean? He's not actually folding up the cloth and surrounding the egg. So that's why he's matir over there. But in the case of chol, what we have is that the egg is completely submerged and surrounded by the chol, or the avak drachim, and that's going to be atmana, which even Rabbi Yossi agrees to. But again, not under the classical... You see, that's why the word atmana here is very confusing. It means two different things in two different contexts. If we're talking about Erev Shabbos, then we're talking about the gzeir of atmana. And that's Dafka Bidvara Hamosif Hevel. But if we're talking about Hatmana Bechol on Shabbos, that's what we call Toldos HaChama, which means that right now the sand is hot, and he's putting his egg on Shabbos into hot sand, and he's cooking it, even though on a Doraisa level that's not cooking. Why not? Because what heated up the Chol? It's the Chama, so it's Toldos HaChama. But nevertheless, Rabbi Yossi agrees that in this case, Toldos HaChama is also. We asked the question about Yafkeru B'Sudrin, so that's something that we have to reconcile. If the Mishnah is talking about what he's doing on Shabbos, then Lo Yafkeru B'Sudrin should also be on Shabbos. So why would Rabbi Yossi be marked to that? If the egg is going to be cooked by this hot cloth, and we said that Toldos HaChama is something that Rabbi Yossi rejects, he never accepted that gzera, and that's why he's matir in the case of Yafkeru B'Sudrin. Why is Rabbi Yossi so nervous? Why does he agree with the Chacham that we have to prohibit Yatminenu B'chol on Shabbos, since this is not a case of Toldos HaOr, but rather Toldos HaChama? And Rabbi Yossi never accepted the Iser of Toldos HaChama.
You can't separate that. When you have the open cloth, the sun is shining on it also. You didn't bury it. So the cloth may be hot, but also the sun is shining on it directly.
Well, that's only a reason to explain why Rabbi Yossi is matir. What I'm trying to figure out is, if Rabbi Yossi is matir in the case of Sudar, which is clearly Toldos HaOr, I'm sorry, Toldos HaChama, my mistake, and that's because he never accepted the Gzeira Toldos HaChama, why would he admit that on Shabbos there's an Iser of Yatminenu B'chol? That's the Ramban Shita. Meaning, if we were talking before the Ramban, and we would have assumed, against the Ramban, that Chol is considered Dovra Mosif Hevel, then I would have said that the Mishnah is talking about Erev Shabbos, and there's a Gzera of Yatminenu of Hatmona of Dovra Mosif Hevel, and Rabbi Yossi agrees, he adopts that Gzera. But now we're talking on Shabbos. According to Ramban, the issue is Bishul. Well, is there a Bishul Durabbanon in Toldos HaOr? Well, I'm sorry. He told us, that's Bishul Doraisa. Is an Issa Bishul Durabbanon in Toldos HaChama? Well, Rabbi Yossi rejected that in the case of Sudrin. So that's the point that I wanted to try to raise here. You know, in the next paragraph, he quotes the Prima Gadol, the Rosh Yosef. He says that according to the Ramban, the reason why this Mishnah is addressing the cases of Sudrin and Chol and Avak Drachim in the context of Beitza B'Tzad HaMecham. Beitza B'Tzad HaMecham in the opening line in the Mishnah is talking when?
Erev
Shabbos. No. Again, Ein Nosin Beitza B'Tzad HaMecham. We're talking about the Issa Doraisa of Bishul of Toldos HaOr. That's on Shabbos itself. It makes sense, therefore, says the Ramban, that the entire Mishnah, as one unit, is addressing the case of on Shabbos. So he says the following. He says, Batma, yeah, fine. Okay, so he doesn't really give us an answer. All right, I'm just raising the question. As we start, you know, this Mishnah, we should be aware of the fact that there's a fundamental machlokas here, how to interpret the Sefer of our Mishnah. Is the Sefer of our Mishnah talking about on Shabbos? That's the Rishonim before the Ramban? Or is it talking, I'm sorry, on Erev, did I say Shabbos? I meant to say Erev Shabbos, the Rishonim again. Or, as the Ramban would have it, we're talking about Shabbos itself. And again, why did the other Rishonim say we're talking in Erev Shabbos? Because they're assuming that Chol is Mosif Hevel. And if it's Mosif Hevel, it comes under the Gzeira Atmana that applies on Erev Shabbos. The Ramban cannot accept that position. He interprets, he classifies Chol as a Dovrsha Eino Mosif Hevel. On the contrary, once the sun sets, then it cools off. And therefore, when Shabbos enters, it's not Mosif Hevel, it's Miskarer and Mitztanein. And therefore, the Ramban is forced to interpret that our Mishnah is referring to what he's doing on Shabbos. And then we have to understand what's the difference between Lahafkia, Beitza, Alasuda, which Rabbi Yossi is Matir, as opposed to Lahatmino Bechol, where even Rabbi Yossi, again, we're talking on Shabbos, going to Ramban, is Osir. Yeah, Ben.
Yeah, I was just saying, I could photograph that note and send it to the class if you think it would be helpful to.
You know what? I think we've pretty much finished this note. I think we're going to have to come back to it over and over and over again, but not now. You know, we're going to have to wait till we see the sugya inside. Sometimes what the Masifta does is they give you like a little bit of a preview, just to confuse you a little bit of what's going to come in the Gemara. But I wanted to be confused in this case because I wanted to know whether we're talking about Shabbos or Erev Shabbos. Okay, now we get to Hakafa Bet. This is already, I would have had it as a separate Mishnah, but it's in the Sefer of that Mishnah. Okay. Now, we have something called Chamei Tveria. These are the hot springs that are to be found around the area in the north of Tveria. And obviously those waters can heat up a lot of different things. Like take for example, if you would want to take a hot shower on Shabbos, we'll see later on that that's going to be prohibited, and you have to heat up the water, but again, they didn't have, you know, these kinds of fancy percolators where you can set it up before Shabbos. So what they wanted to do was, they wanted to draw the waters of the Chamei Tveria, and somehow achieve the goal that those waters would heat up their water so that they could take a hot bath. How did they do such a thing? And again, I always say it's pretty sophisticated. What they did was, Heviu Silon Sheltzonen. So they have this pipe, which is drawing cold water, and Litoch Ama Shelchamen. They take this pipe, this Silon, and they submerge it in the waters of the Chamei Tveria. Again, obviously they're doing this before Shabbos. This is not something you're allowed to do on Shabbos for various reasons. And now what's happening is that, okay, so here we have a major machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. I'm going to start with Tosfos, even though I'm starting backwards, because Tosfos is a lot easier. Tosfos says that what happens is they put this pipe. How does he translate the Silon? Does he also call it a pipe?
Yeah,
he calls it a pipe. So he has this pipe submerged in the Chamei Tveria. The pipe is drawing cold water from one end, and what comes out on the other end is hot water, because the heat of the Chamei Tveria is heating up the pipe and everything inside the pipe. That's the way Tosfos is going to learn. Rashi is going to learn a whole other pshat. Rashi is going to learn that it's not that the waters are drawn into a pipe and they come out of that same pipe on the other end, but rather this pipe is connected directly to the waters of Chamei Tveria. And the cold water now mixes together with the hot water, and the hot water heats up the cold water. And why does Tosfos reject that pshat? So if you take a look at Tosfos on the bottom of Lamed Ches Amud Beis, he says, Heviu Silon Sheltzonen Litoch Ama Shelchamen Nivaod Yom. First of all, Tosfos points out that this happens on Erev Shabbos, kid appears bekudris. Then he says, "V'ein shum iser klal ba'ava." Now you might ask, "Wait a minute, how's he allowed to do this? He's heating up the water." The answer is, he's doing it on Erev Shabbos, and Erev Shabbos is okay. And this is the Shita Beis Hillel, at the end of the first parak of Shabbos against Beis Shammai. Kedesanya beperakama daf yuches potkin mayim legina umismales vaholeches kol haShabbos kula. That technically you're allowed to irrigate your fields by setting up the irrigation system before Shabbos. The water's going to come in on Shabbos, and it's going to add water to your garden. Even though that would normally be a told of Meleches Oreya, but here you did it on Erev Shabbos. Fine.
This was a Shabbos clock.
This is like their Shabbos clock. And this is a very famous question about Shvius. On Shemitah, you're allowed to set up a system on Erev Shvius where the waters will come in and water the plants and the garden and so forth on Shvius itself. Just 1 second, I'm looking for one particular line here in this Tosfos. The Tosfos says here on the bottom few lines, as they appear on Lamed Ches Amud Beis, again, this Tosfos is printed mostly on Daf Lamed, half of it is on Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. But Tosis is not able to tolerate Rashi's pshat. And the reason for that is the following. He says that this story about Chamei Tveria is meant to teach us what's, as we'll soon see in the Gemara on Daf Lamed Tes, the Iser of Hatmona before Shabbos, the Dover Hamosif Hevel. So now let's go back to the two Pshatim we have. According to Rashi's Pshat, what's going on here is the cold water and the hot water are mixing together inside this Sinar, inside the Sila. Whereas according to Tosfos, the cold water is in the pipe, and it's totally surrounded by the Chamei Tveria. Now let's assume, again this is going to be a whole suit, that Chamei Tveria is called Toldos HaEish. Don't ask me why. Mm-hmm. And the Gemara says there's a fire in the core of the universe and the core of the earth, and that fire is heating up the Chamei Tveria. Well, whatever, I don't know, we'll have to get into the science another time, not for now. If that be the case, then, according to Tosfos, what you have here is Hatmona v'Dover HaMosif Hevel. The Chachamim are going to object to this setup, this arrangement in which the Tzino was submerged in the Chamei Tveria, because now the cold water is going to be surrounded by the hot water of the Chamei Tveria on all sides. That's called Hatmona. And not only that, says Tosfos, it's Hatmona b'Dover HaMosif Hevel. But on the other hand, Rashi's pshat is that the cold water, and again, keep in mind that Hatmona b'Dover HaMosif Hevel is also even on Erev Shabbos. So even though they did this whole arrangement on Erev Shabbos, it's still prohibited. Now, Ulari Nira, this is on the second line on Daf Lamed Tes, how can the Gemara use this story to illustrate, by virtue of the objection of the Chachamim to this minog, that Hatman is also? This is not Hatman. According to Rashi, they were simply mixing cold water and hot water. And we have to see what the status of such a mixture is, if it's called Bishol, if it's not called Bishol. And therefore, says the Ri on the fourth line, Venira Lo, the Silon Lohayam is Arvin Bechamin. The water inside this pipe was not mixing with the hot water of the Chamei Tveria. Ki Hayam Mukaf Mechitzos Mikol Tzad. Because the Tzinar actually covers the water on all sides. There's no exposure of the water to the Chamei Tveria. So the whole Pshat of Rashi is Arvin is completely off base. The problem was that the water inside the pipe, again, which is not in any way, has no contact whatsoever with the Chamei Tveri, but nevertheless gets heated up by the Chamei Tveri. Now, Tosus asks a technical question, sort of a historical question, meaning the Mitzvah, why is it that the people had to do this whole thing in order to heat up the water, the cold water in the pipe? Why didn't they just, if they wanted a hot bath, jump into the Chamei Tveri? And here's, you know, this is the assumption that Tosus has to present here. The whole sugya is based on this following premise: Lo hayirochtzim b'chamei tver. They didn't actually bathe themselves in the Chamei Tver. And why is that? Lefisha reichon ra. It's foul. It's not pure. It's not clean.
There's sulfur.
Sulfur.
You can smell the sulfur very thin.
Back to the eggs. Yeah. That's why it's in this Mishnah.
It smells like eggs.
So now says the Reb, what did I gain by my pshat that the water inside the tzone is going to be used for bathing because it's going to be heated up by the Chamei Tveri that's around it? Hashta duvya d'atmana. Now I understand why the Gemara is going to derive conclusions here about atmana. Shemayim tzonim hayu nitmanim, meaning they're surrounded mitoch hachamim l'schamim. And I noticed here that he has a long piece here of the name of the Pnei Yeshua to try to justify Rashi's pshat. But be that as it may, let's just simply present the machlokas here. Rashi's learning that the water, the cold water, is now being drawn into contact and mixed with the Chamei Tveri, the hot water. And we have to see if that's called Bishul. Whereas Tosus is saying no. This is not the issue. Our issue is the issue of hatmana. Hatmana means that the cold water inside the pipe is being heated up by the hot water of the Chamei Tveri that surrounds the pipe. Okay, so that's according to the Ri and Tosfos. Amru lehem chachon. The chachon told them this is not right. In Bishabbos, if the waters come into this pipe on Shabbos, okay, then the law of the status of this water is kechamim shehuchmu b'Shabbos. Now, Rav Osi, on those three words, we're going to have a lot to study, a lot to analyze, and to try to understand. Chamim shehuchmu b'Shabbos, which literally means that you put a pot of water onto the fire on Shabbos. Now, Rav Osi, we've discussed in the past that if you heat up food, cook food on Shabbos, what's that called? Who remembers what it's called?
Chazara.
Maisa Shabbos. Chazara is not a Maisa Shabbos, assuming you have a guf and a ketumah, so there's no actual fire in that stove. But let's have an open fire, and I put food on that fire, that's called bishul, it cooks, or in the case of water, I put hot water onto the fire and it boils. What's the status of that water, or of that tavshil that was cooked on Shabbos? That's called Maisa Shabbos. I hope you remember that.
We can't.
And we had long discussions on Daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph.
Shogeg Mezi.
But all those discussions that we had were about the Shehiyah and Chazara cases, which were only Derabbanan. And there we differentiated between Mezid and Shogeg. Maybe it's Mutter after Shabbos, maybe you have to wait till Kadesh Yasa, and fine. But everybody agrees that if you cook something on Shabbos, heaven forbid, then the product of that cooking is awesome. It's completely awesome. For ad infinitum, forever and ever. And in the language of the Rishonim in the Poskim, that's called an Isur Cheftza, or Cheftza Disura, meaning that the object becomes totally awesome. Why? Because Maisa Shabbos is awesome. I can never benefit from a violation of Malacha Shabbos. And now the Chachamim are introducing this case of Chamin Shehuchmu B'Shabbos, and they are equating the Hatmana situation here, where he submerges the pipe that has within it cold water into the Chamei Tveri, which surrounds the pipe, to a case of someone who cooked water on Shabbos. Now, the reason I think that the Chachamim go this far in dramatizing their, you know, their attack against this minhag that took place over there in Tveria, of Anshei Tveria, I believe is because the Chachamim here want to demonstrate that you won't even be able to bathe in that water. That's called rechitza. Let me explain. Normally, when we talk about Maisa Shabbos, we talk about eating the food that was cooked on Shabbos. In the case of water, talking about having a glezelate, you know, of hot water that was heated on Shabbos. Who says that we're talking about taking a bath? Is that also prohibited? Now, you and I may say yes, but why would that be so? Not only that, the plot grows thicker because there are different categories of rechitza. Mm-hmm. The classical category of rechitza is called kol gufo, when he submerges his whole body in water. But if he only washes yadav part of virago, just individual members of his body, single file, piecemeal, that's not called rechitza in the classical sense. Again, there may be, as every halakhic principle, there are exceptions to the rule, but as a general rule, rechitza means kol gufo. In rechitza on Yom Kippur, rechitza on Tishba, there are differences between Yom Kippur and Tishba about this issue, but suffice it to say that rechitza, in a case of pun of yod of aragov, is not really rechitza. That's not rechitza. And the Chachamim turn to the Anshei Tveria and they say, Asurim birechitza. And the impression you get here is that's an absolute unconditional isur. And that applies even if he wants to wash his hands or his feet. Now here he has a one-liner. He says, Af kasher isur achita rogil b'shabbos eino noik. In general, we don't take baths on Shabbos. That's a separate gzeirah, because maybe you'll wring out the towel and so forth, whatever it might be. So he says that there are certain situations. He doesn't tell us what they are. He says, "Ein lahalim lamites amid beis." So we're going to find out. Again, you have to know everything to know anything here. It's very complicated. But suffice it to say, there are situations in which you're allowed to take a bath on Shabbos, and those situations are prohibited with regard to this water that was heated up on Shabbos. But wait a second. Maisa Shabbos means somebody violated Shabbos and he boiled water on Shabbos. That's not our case. Our case is where he set up this contraption, this arrangement on Erev Shabbos. And Tosis insists in the name of the Reed that he violates the Isra Atmana, because Chamei Tveria, heating up the water inside the Tzinar, the Ceylon, is called Dora Mosif Hevel. And now we're, in a sense, upgrading that violation of the Isra Atmana to the level of Cham and Shehuchmu B'Shabbos. And that's a pella to me, because, you know, he didn't do any malacha of Bishul on Shabbos. Now, what's the upshot of this all? That if we equate Atmana with Cham and Shehuchmu B'Shabbos, then, as I said before, Cham and Shehuchmu B'Shabbos generates an Isur Cheftza, and that Isur Cheftza means that I'm not allowed to benefit from that object. Mm-hmm. So how do you benefit from hot water? Well, classically it's through drinking, but you can also benefit from hot water through what? Bathing through a chitza. That's also considered a hanor, a benefit. So you can benefit either through shtia or through hana or through rechitza. And the Gemara is now saying that once I upgrade the violation of hatmana to a maisa Shabbos, as if you cooked something on Shabbos, which obviously you did not, but the Chachamim are being very harsh here on someone who sets up a hatmana mivod yom that'll continue the cooking process, or in the case of water, the boiling process of the water on Shabbos. The Chacham considered it that as if you didn't do that one on Erev Shabbos, you did it on Shabbos itself. And doing it on Shabbos would incur the principle, would activate the principle of Maisa Shabbos, in which case you're not allowed to benefit at all from this chibur on Shabbos. And when I say at all, it means you can't even take a bath in it. So what was the whole purpose of these Anshei Tver? What did they want to gain? What was their ultimate goal by submerging this tzinor of Mayim Tzonanim inside the Chami Tver? What was their goal? They wanted to bathe, right? They weren't interested in drinking the water. This was not a case of a glezel of tea. They didn't have to go through all this, complications to get a hot cup of tea with the water coming in, the whole Shabbos into this pipeline. But rather, they needed vast volumes of hot water for bathing purposes. And the Chacham stopped them dead in their tracks and they said, no, you're not allowed to bathe in this water. Because we're going to consider it as if you had cooked the water on Shabbos. And if you cook the water on Shabbos, that's called a Maisa Shabbos. And it engenders a Chefta di Surah, such that you're not allowed to enjoy the benefit of this water. And you can't even bathe in the water. And the impression you get is that somehow this Isra Chitza is so all-encompassing that even to heat up, to bathe your feet in the water, or your hands in the water, or to wash your face with this hot water, even that was prohibited. Again, they would never consider bathing in the Chami Tver itself because Recha Ra, Dos Fashtik, that doesn't smell good. But here was a way of getting clear water, heated up, in masses of volumes. They thought they came up with a great, brilliant Hamtzah. But the Chacham objected to it because that's called Hatmana B'davar Shemosif Hevra. And now we're going to upgrade it to the status of Mayim Shehuchmu B'Shabbos, such that now the water is completely Asur Manah. And even if you're only washing your hands or your feet or your face, that's also considered like you're benefiting from the heating process that, again, in inverted commas, that took place on Shabbos. And therefore, you didn't gain a thing. That's what the Chacham told them. Hopefully they listened to the Chacham and accepted their authority.
So, right? I have two problems. A, it seems like a real stretch to call it Hakmana. And even if it is Hakmana, how do you equate that all of a sudden with Chimum on Shabbos and Mavashal on Shabbos? It seems like two stretches, in my opinion. Maybe that's what we're going to struggle with.
So the Iser of Hatmana is brought because of Shema Yatmin Remetz. And as I said to you before, Remetz is something that's called Toldas Ha'or. So if you would take food, or for that matter, a little bit of a thermos of some sort of container of water, and you would submerge it in Remetz, which is hot, I wouldn't call it coals, but ashes or whatever it might be, that would be Toldas Ha'or, and that would be a Doraisa. And since it was quite common to do this kind of Hatmana B'Remetz, Chazal therefore asked all Hatmana, as long as it's similar to Remetz. And what element makes it similar to Remetz? It's the Mosif Hevel, the fact that it increases and intensifies the heat as time goes on. And right now the Chacham is saying that Hatmana B'Remetz, which is Doraisa, and Hatmana B'Dora Mosif Hevel, like the case of Chami Tveria, are one and the same. Not on a Doraisa level, obviously. Right? On a Doraisa level, you can't tell me that they violated anything. This whole process took place on Erev Shabbos.
What if it took place on Tuesday? I mean, it's not something they set up on Erev Shabbos. It goes constantly all week.
My impression is, Dr. Joel, as we go along, we'll try to check my assumption out and see if it's correct, that there's no problem doing this on Tuesday. The problem is that you have to stop this process when Shabbos enters. Shabbos enters, you have to close the valves and make sure no cold water is coming in on Shabbos. Because any cold water that comes in on Shabbos itself is water that you virtually cooked. When I say virtual reality, I mean you didn't really cook it, but it's considered as if you cooked it because it is very similar to the cooking process of Hatmana B'Remetz.
Even if you don't use it, that'd be a problem.
That I don't know. That's interesting. We raised this question way back when we spoke about Shehiyah. What would be if a person leaves his pot on an open fire in Erev Shabbos and he has no intention to eat that pot? The contents of that pot. I don't know. It seems to me that the whole reason the Chachamim jumped in here and they created these Isur of Hatmana or the Isur of Shehiyah is because you're cooking on Shabbos. Not actively, but you're trying to cook on Shabbos. If, let's say, he has no interest in the cooking, I don't know if Shehi would be awesome. Again, he'd have to convince the rabbis that he has no intention of eating the Tavshil. And they're going to investigate him and interrogate him, and they're going to ask him, why did you do this if you're not even going to eat it? But if Luyatsuri, you had such a situation, you know, you wanted to use Shabbos, you know, so that you'll have something on Sunday or whatever, then that should be mutter.
I guess without fridges, you know, the meat might spoil, so you may as, you know, you better cook it.
Right. So again, this is my premise. My premise is that Somuch l'Shabbos, you have to stop this process. You're not allowed to allow the water come into this pipe on Shabbos. You have to close the valve, because if you leave the valve open and the water continues in, it's being cooked on Shabbos. And that's considered on a Durabonin level cooking. To such extent, the Chacham equated it with Chamen Shehuchmu b'Shabbos, which is a Maisa Shabbos that generates an Iser Hanon. Now, one second. Let me just get my head on straight. Let's take a look for a moment. We'll fast forward. Again, in this Gemara, you have to keep turning pages. To Daf Lamed Tes Amid Beis. Okay, Lamed Tes Amid Beis on the top. The Gemara says the following. It's a statement of Rav Chisda. Mi Maisa, from the story of our Mishnah, Sha'osu Anshei Tveria, how they set up this silon inside the Chamei Tveria, the Asru L'Rabbanan, the Rabbanan said that's prohibited, Batla Hatmana B'Davra Mosif Hefla. Okay, now the word Batla here is a little bit confusing. Rashi says, on the top line, that the word Batla is a synonym for the word Nesra. So from our, you know, for our purposes, what we're going to do is we're going to cross out the word Batla, and we're going to substitute the word Nesra for Batla. And this is the re of the Balatosis' proof about what exactly was going on with the Anshei Tveri. The Gemara is saying that from the Maisa Tver we derive the conclusion that the Rabbanan prohibited Hatmana B'Dara Mosif Heva. So what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to understand that the whole Maisa of Anshei Tveri, where they put the Silon in order to heat up the water, that the cold water that's going into this pipe, it must be that they submerge the pipe into hot water, in this case into Chamei Tveria, and that's called Hatmana B'Davra Mosif Heva. And therefore, Vafilu B'Bodyon, you're not allowed to do this, set up this process even before Shabbos. Because the Isra Hatmana B'Davra Mosif Heva is also even before Shabbos. So the Gemara is deriving some very, very far-reaching conclusions from the reaction of the Chachamim to the Anshei Tveri in this whole story. Conclusion number one is that Hatmana B'Davra Mosif Hevel is Asur. Conclusion number two, that he supplies even Mibod Yom. Now, why do I say even Mibod Yom? What would I, if the Gemara didn't add those three words, Afilu Mibod Yom, what thought would have crossed my mind?
It's just fine with poor Shabbos.
Maybe it's only Asur on Shabbos, correct? Not Mibojo, not an Arab Shabbos. On Shabbos, this case of Hatmana, if we're talking about Tolus Hachama, you see, we don't know yet the secret that I told you before, that there's a fire, you know, all hell is burning in the core of the earth. You know, we don't know that. You know, the Gemara calls it Gehenna. We don't know that. So right now we think that the hot springs of Tveria are heated by the sun. If that be the case, you're talking about, you know, the waters of Tveria, of the Chamei Tveria, are what's called Toldas Hachama. And Toldas Hachama is certainly not Bishul Torah. So maybe the Rabbanan said, well, by submerging this pipe of cold water into Chamei Tveria on Shabbos, even though it's only Toldas Hachama, you violate an Issur the Rabbanan. But who says we're going to take this Easter and prohibit even Arab Shabbos? But I think the Gemara is pointing out, no, even on Arab Shabbos, because the whole story of the Anshei Tveri, when they set up the pipes, that was on Arab Shabbos. And why would there be such an Easter of Hatman on Arab Shabbos? The answer is because sometimes we're afraid to allow you to do something on Arab Shabbos and benefit from that cooking process on Shabbos, because you'll be tempted tomorrow or next Shabbos to do it on Shabbos itself. And that's the point of the Gemara, Afilu Mibod Yom. And guess what? This Mishnah that we're learning now is a machlokas. When we read the Mishnah, we don't get the impression it's a machlokas. We think that the Anshei Tveria were a bunch of ignoramuses, you know, farmers or whatever they were. They didn't know the law. And they did something which they thought was a brilliant chap about how to get a hot water for showers, for baths on Shabbos, in those cases that you're allowed to bathe on Shabbos. And the Chachamim told them, you're making a big mistake. This is called Atmana. They didn't even know anything about Atmana. But look at the next line in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Halacha Amar Ula Halacha Kanshei Tveria. That's a pella. Meaning there's a bona fide machlokas here between the Anshei Tveria, not a bunch of villagers, you know what I'm saying, of ignorant villagers. No. The Anshei Tveria represent a certain sheet in Halacha. And the Chacham wanted to aser it, and the Anshei Tveria insisted that it's not aser, and we paskin Halacha like the Anshei Tveria. In other words, you're allowed to set up this silon of cold water coming in into the Chamei Tveria, even though it's going to heat up on Shabbos. Ole Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman wasn't happy about this. Kvar tavridu Anshei Tveria l'silonayu. That as a matter of fact, the Anshei Tveria accepted the ruling of the Chachamim, and they completely broke up. Tavridu is milosh and shvira, right? A shin in Hebrew, very often, as you know, is converted into a tough in Aramaic, right? The simon l'dover is always shalosh, which is in Aramaic tlat, right? So this word tavridu means shavrinu, and they broke apart their pipes. They did it as some sort of symbolic gesture to convey the message that they had accepted the opinion of the Chacham. They reversed their original decision, and therefore says Rav Nachman to Ula, you're making a big mistake. Ula, you assume the halach is like Anshei Tveria, but it's not true. We paskin like the Chacham. Now, according to Tosfos, the Ri, what it means here, the significance of paskening like the Chacham against Anshei Tveria, is that there's an Iser Atman on Erev Shabbos B'Dover Shemosis. And that's what's written here, between the lines in the statement of Rav Nachman to Ula. Don't you dare believe, says Rav Nachman, that we paskening like the Anshei Tveria Lekula. No. There's an Iser of Hatmana B'Dover Shemosif Hevel Mibonyom, even Mibonyom, because we paskin that even the Anshei Tveria backed off and they didn't accept. Now, getting back to our Mishnah, the Mishnah says Asurim Birachitza U'Bishtia. Now, if you're talking about Shtia, then I understand very well that if you violated this Isur, then you're not allowed to drink the water. You heated up the water virtually on Shabbos. However, in the Yontif, if this whole story had happened on Yontif, here the halacha is a little different, then kechamen shehuchu b'yontif. We can only equate this to water that was heated up on Yontif, and in fact, you're allowed to heat up the water on Yontif. That's called meleches ochel nefesh. However, asurim berachitza. So he's saying the following, that on Yontif, There's no Iser of Shtia, meaning I can heat up water on Yontif for my tea, but there's an Iser of Chitza. You're not allowed to wash and take a hot bath on Yontif. Now, the strange thing is that the Iser of taking a hot bath on Yontif is only because you submerge your entire body into the hot water. But if you were to bathe in hot water on Yontif, but piecemeal, you know, stick your arm in, and then your shoulder, and then your leg, and then the other leg, and so forth, that's mutter on Yontif. And therefore, when the Gemara says here that with regard to Yontif, it's only asur berechitza, but mutar b'shtia, then we're talking about rechitza that's called gufo. That's not the impression we got in the case of Shabbos. So it seems the following, that there's a fundamental difference in Shabbos and Yontif as far as heating up water. You're allowed to heat up water on Yontif for Shtia, and even as far as Rechitza is concerned, the only Iser Rechitza is called Gufo. But as far as Shabbos is concerned, there seems to be an all-encompassing Iser, not only Shtia if it was heated up on Shabbos, but also Rechitza. And rechitza means even rechitzas panav yadav v'raglav. So it's interesting, a person wants to take a hot shower and he on Shabbos and he wants to use water, let's say that was heated up on Erev Shabbos, and just wash his body piecemeal, as I call it. You have a better word than piecemeal if you can help me out, but you know, it's member by member of his body, that's all I meant to say.
Which is pretty much how a shower works anyway.
So it could be that showering on Shabbos is a whole different story than bathing on Shabbos. You know, back in the day, bathing was a whole preoccupation. You know, you go to Matzado or millions of other places and you see the excavations, you'll see the archaeologists dig up all these merchetzos, which are the bathhouses that was part of the Roman culture back in the time of the Mishnah. And this was something that they were very excited about. Now, the people who were in charge of heating up these bathhouses, I mean the water in the bathhouse, were called the balonim. And these balonim would have some sort of source of heat coming from underneath the container of water. You know, the water was in a stone
basin
or whatever. I'm not sure what the exact word would be. And the balonim were meant to do the following. They were meant to shut off the heat before Shabbos. Instead of, on the contrary, feeding the heat on Shabbos, but they were in a pressure because this is how they made a living, and people wanted to know that they had hot bathing water for Shabbos, and the fear was that if we allow bathing on Shabbos, they might come to actually heat up the water on Shabbos. So this is going to be a Gemara again. As I told you, you have to know everything to know anything here. This is a Gemara, I think, on Daf Mem Aleph. Okay, I'm not finding it right now. If anybody sees it, let me know.
Yeah.
How does it start?
It's Daf Mem Bet.
Oh, Mem Bet. Okay, that's good.
At least they're talking about that there. Unless they start earlier.
That's Ritzonen L'Tov Chamin? Is that possible?
Maybe that's going to be part of the sugya. But there should be a sugya earlier about the merchetzos. I thought it was on Daf Mem Aleph, but okay.
No, you're right. It's around the bottom.
On the bottom. Bottom of what? Mem Aleph or Mem Aleph?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's take a look if we can get that.
Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avimi.
I don't see Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avimi. You're on the bottom of Mem Aleph or Mem Aleph? We're on the same page?
Yeah, sorry, it's not right at the bottom.
Towards the bottom.
It's about three quarters of the way down.
Okay, very good.
The line starts Shel Tinok, but then there's Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avimi, Hamachat Nignasti.
So you're saying it's two thirds of the way down?
The Rabbi Levet Hamar Chatz.
Mem on the bed, you're talking about.
Oh, it's still, sorry, yeah, sorry. Mem on the bed.
Oh, that's right. I was wondering if I'm dumb, okay, why.
I guarantee this is it, but that's what I have underlined on this page. Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avimi, Nignasti Achar Rabbi Levet Faith America.
Oh, that's the case of cliché. Am I right?
Yes.
Oh boy. That's a sugya in itself. I wasn't referring to that. I was talking about the Isur of Merchetzos and Rechitz on Shabbos, where they're afraid that the Balonim are going to heat up the water on Shabbos itself. That should come up here on Mem Aleph.
Yeah, I got that as well. Can we try me again?
Yeah, where are you? What daf do you want?
Yeah, now it's still at the bottom of Mem Aleph.
Okay. On the bottom of Mem Aleph.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. So I wasn't far off. Omer Avada Bar Masof, you're going to make him Shepino. That's not really exactly what I'm looking for.
Chamin Shel.
Just one second. You should find the word Avar Yonim somewhere.
Exactly.
Yeah, did you find such a word?
Yeah.
Misharobu Avar Yonim, but I don't see it right now. Maybe it's on Mem Aleph from the days. Again, I don't want to waste.
Master Joel, you have a
Gemara online. Can you control F? Avar
It's not that specific.
One second, let me just see one thing. It should be Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, but there may be a... Maybe a misprint.
I felt like I've cried wolf too many times.
Somebody tell me what time it is. I don't know. I seem to have misplaced my watch.
25 till.
Oh, 25 till what? 11?
Yes.
So I have to teach Kurdish there.
My over
the top of the mem.
That'll be our homework assignment.
Mem Aleph?
Yeah. Mem Amud Aleph. This is my over there. So before that, it must have been something about over there. Went back to that. It's a bright time, huh?
Oh, here it is. Mem Amud Aleph, you're right. Misharabu Over Avera. That's the Gemara we're looking for. All right, then. So let's just again, we have to end now, but I wanted to show you where the Gemara is. Mem Amud Aleph. And you're talking about, I would say, about 10 lines up from the bottom. Hischilu Lesar Ambatios Shel Krochim. And when did that happen? And if you look a line or two above that, it says, Misharabu Ovrei Avera, my Ovrei Avera, the Omer Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, Omer Rabbi Shimon ben Leit, Mishum bar Kapor, Betchilo Yerochtzim Bechamin, Shehuchmu Bi'erev Shabbos. But Hischilu Abalonim Lahochem B'Shabbos. So they start actually heating up the water on Shabbos itself. I guess they were really pressured. And Vyomer, they would declare Me'erev Shabbos Hukmu. It was Osru Eschamin. Okay, we're not going to talk about Zeah, that's something else, the Shvitzbud, but the Chamin itself, as far as bathing in hot water, that they prohibited. So that's on the bottom of Mem Amud Aleph. Now, if we keep that Gemara in mind, and for a moment we flip back to our Mishnah, and the Mishnah says, Im B'Shabbos, Kechamin Shehuchmu B'Shabbos V'Asurim V'Rechitzu B'Shtia. Now, according to Tosfos, the reason why it's Asur is because of the Isur of Hatmana, and that's Hatmana V'Vod Yom V'Dor Shemosif Heva, which we saw on the top of Lamentes Amid Beis, right? Mimaisa Shosu Anshei Tveria, etc., etc., Lamentes Amid Beis. And now we have an Isur Achitza, which Lechora might include even Panav Yodav Ragla. Even though on Yontif Panav Yodav Ragla is Mutta, but on Shabbos it's Osir. And I'm not sure what's going on here, because basically Rabosai, this is what boggles my mind. I'd like to, you know, between now and tomorrow morning at 9:30, I have to come up with a solution in my mind. We're dealing with an overlap of two different prohibitions, and I'm not sure how to navigate through them. We have one prohibition, which we called before Maisa Shabbos, which is the sugi back on Daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, that if you heat up water on Shabbos, then the water is a Chefta Disura. And now we're equating the violation of Hatmana with Mayim Shehuchmu V'Shabbos, Chamin Shehuchmu V'Shabbos, and therefore we're incurring, we're generating the Isur of Maisa Shabbos. But on the other hand, we also have an overlap of a whole different Isur. And that's the Isur of Rechitza, which applies, it seems, straight across the board, and was instituted because of the Ovrei Avera, the Balonim, who would heat up the water not on Erev Shabbos but on Shabbos and fool us and try to claim and present the view that Anochi, that I actually heated up on Erev Shabbos, and for that reason they instituted a flat Isur of Rechitz on Shabbos. Now I'm just wondering if there's going to be an overlap between the two. You might ask, well, if I already have Maisa Shabbos, why do I need this additional Isur, and the answer is going to be that I only apply Maaseh Shabbos if there was a violation of Shabbos. But if there was no violation of Shabbos, then Maaseh Shabbos doesn't apply. Could I still apply the Isur of Rechitza, but Torah has a separate Isur of Rechitza? But then the question becomes, if I apply that Isur Rechitza, does it apply even to Yipan of Yodav Araglov? And number two, would it apply even as far as Shtiyo is concerned? If it's a din of Maaseh Shabbos, then clearly you're not allowed to drink this water. But if it's only an Isur because of the Balonim, I'm not sure what was the scope and the extent of that Isur. Did it include an Isur Shtiyo as well? So that's Belineta, what we want to take up tomorrow. So what I'd like you to do now in advance is first of all to go over this Tosas Maaseh on the bottom of Lamed Ches Amud Beis after you've obviously reviewed the Mishnah. And here, Ben, you could help me with some photocopying. If you could photocopy this page over here, which is Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, the first one, and we'll see if we can compare that page to Lamed Ches Amud Beis. Again, number Aleph. So if you can photocopy just the notes, I don't need the Gemara itself. Everybody has a Gemara, but the page with the notes on it, you'll have to juggle it around because it's very hard to fit this in on one standard size page. And if you don't mind making a copy for me as well, because that allows me to make lines and notes on it, which I can't do with this Gemara. It doesn't belong to me. Okay, then. So we'll stop here. Good. So we made our scholar. I mean, this is a whole brand new sugya. We're going to get into issues of not only Maaseh Shabbos, but also Hatmana B'Dover Shemosif Hevel. We're going to talk about preparing tea for Shabbos. We're going to talk about the Isur of Rechitza on Shabbos. Is it only Kol Gufo, or is it parts of his body? We're going to compare that to the Isur of Rechitza on Yom Tov. And we have a lot of information here that overlaps, and hopefully we'll be able to try to put it all into some sort of logical perspective. Okay, then?
Thank you.